This is a recording of The Title of Liberty and Ancient Prophecy by Roseanne Benson, published in Interpreter, a Journal of Mormon Scripture, read by Gordon Schlosser Benson. Abstract. Captain Moroni cites a prophecy regarding Joseph of Egypt and his posterity that is not recorded in the Bible. He accompanies the prophecy with a symbolic action to motivate his warriors to covenant to be faithful to their prophet Helaman and to keep the commandments, lest God would not preserve them as he had Joseph. Introduction. An illustration of how Old Testament prophecy expands our appreciation of Book of Mormon teachings is found in the Epic War section of the Book of Alma. Interestingly, an army captain used ancient prophecy regarding God's preservation of a righteous remnant to motivate his people to declare their dedication to fight for the most precious parts of Nephite culture: God, religion, family, and free government. An important Nephite practice was that of appointing as chief captain one who recognized the spirit of revelation, because every conflict was to be prosecuted under the divine direction of God. Moroni's spiritual gifts not only spurred his people to greater obedience and fervor in their fight for righteous principles, but record a new and significant prophecy not found in our Old Testament. Historical background. At the disappearance of the prophet Alma, his son Helaman, who had previously received the sacred relics that symbolized his calling as prophet and ecclesiastical leader, set about to reorganize the leadership of the churches in the Nephite land by appointing new priests and teachers. Because of the wars, there had been dissension and disorder in the church. In response to Helaman's reorganization and regulations, some Nephites were angry, and a wealthy group of Nephites refused to acknowledge him as their chief priest and prophet. Amalickiah, the leader of this dissident group, was described as a large and a strong man, and a man of cunning device, and a man of many flattering words. He promised those angry with Helaman a return to kingship and greater power for lower judges as rulers over the people, if they supported him to be king. Perhaps Helaman's regulations were direction to the membership of the church, clarifying that the change from kingship to judgeship, promoting greater liberty and personal responsibility, had originated, at least in part, from Revelation. Therefore, judgeship should be the type of government the Nephites supported politically. Whatever principles or doctrines Helaman taught, the dissension of Amalickiah and his followers constituted both ecclesiastical apostasy and political sedition. Just after a victory led by Captain Moroni over the Zoramites and Lamanites that included great loss of Nephite lives, Amalickiah and his followers fomented civil war, attempting to overturn a government of judges as set forth by King Mosiah and Alma and approved by the voice of the people almost 20 years earlier. Captain Moroni uttered a heartfelt prayer for his people, the persecuted Christians, all those who were true believers in Christ, and who had gladly taken the name of Christ, and who supported Helaman and liberty under God's laws. Perhaps it was his pleading with the Lord that inspired him to remember his ancestors, and led him to rend his coat, following an Old Testament pattern as a sign of mourning. For the Nephite nation to survive another war, this one inflamed by internal division, a pledge of loyalty was essential for a military victory. Rending of clothing. What was the historical significance of Moroni rending his clothing? There are many accounts in the Bible and the Book of Mormon describing the rending of clothing: the soul, the veil of the temple, the veil of darkness, heaven, etc. In this passage, however, Moroni had a very distinct meaning in mind. He linked his actions directly to Joseph, who was sold into Egypt, their ancestral tie to the house of Israel. The story of their ancient clan leader Joseph and his coat of many colors is found in Genesis 37. When Jacob, son of Isaac, received Joseph's coat that had been dipped in goat's blood by his other sons, he rent his clothing and mourned because he believed Joseph's body had been torn by wild animals. Captain Moroni and the Nephites would have known the miraculous outcome of the story from the brass plates. Joseph, who was preserved by the hand of the Lord, that he might preserve his father Jacob and all his household from perishing with famine, rescued his family by providing all they needed during their sojourn in Egypt. God sent Joseph ahead to prepare, preserve, and deliver the family of Jacob. In the process, he became like a savior to them. It is difficult, however, to link the story of wicked brothers rending Joseph's coat to cover their sin with the story of Captain Moroni who rent his coat, not just as a sign of mourning for spiritual dissension among his people, but as a token of a covenant with Christ. He created a war banner by inscribing on the torn remnant a call to the Nephites to remember our God, our religion and freedom, and our peace, our wives, and our children. By citing an ancient ancestor, he set the precedent for the ceremony and legitimized in the eyes of the people his call to battle a civil war. He rallied the Nephites under this title of liberty by putting on his shield and fastening on his armor, symbolizing his willingness to fight for these principles. His message was both a call to obedience and a prophecy. He then went among the people, waving the rent part of his garment in the air that all might see the writing which he had written upon the torn cloth, and shouted, "Behold, we are a remnant of the seed of Jacob. Yea, we are a remnant of the seed of Joseph, whose coat was rent by his brethren in many pieces. Yea, and now behold, let us remember to keep the commandments of God, or our garments shall be rent by our brethren, and we be cast into prison, or be sold, or be slain." The phrase, "whose coat was rent by his brethren into many pieces," is the direct link between the two stories. The dramatic warning and action is a type of symbolic enacted prophecy, also found in the Old Testament. Donald Perry identifies 5 general characteristics of this type of enacted prophecy in the Old Testament. 1. A prophet played a major role in the symbolic actions as prophecy and often dramatized the prophecy himself. 2. The prophetic symbolic action originated from God as direct revelation from God with formulaic phrases indicating this. 3. The prophetic symbolic actions include either a ritualistic gesture, a movement, a posture, or as in Captain Moroni's demonstration, a dramatized act. 4. The dramatized action is symbolic, representing more than what is visible to onlookers or participants. And 5. The prophetic symbolic actions often require the participation of 2 or more individuals, or in this case, many warriors. Captain Moroni warned his people that unless they were obedient, all the evil that had happened to Joseph because of his brother's wickedness would happen to them, but without the eventual positive outcome. The Nephite warriors, who were supporters of Prophet Helaman and the chief commander of the armies, Captain Moroni, accepted this call to action by covenant. Part of ancient Israelite culture was an appreciation for covenant making and keeping. Like his Israelite ancestors, Moroni would have viewed his world through Old Testament covenant theology, meaning that the formation of all social, political, and religious communities was based on covenant making. Terry Zink discovered similarities between Nephite oaths and ancient Near Eastern oaths. First, the parties entering into oath take upon themselves a conditional curse, and second, the oath-taking is accompanied by rituals that symbolize the punishment to be inflicted upon oath breakers. Simile oath or simile curse describes this type of covenant making. Thus, covenant, curse, and ritual are bound together, and in this instance, with prophecy. The Nephite oath-takers also dressed in full armor for battle and rent their garments. As a sign of their covenant with God, they cast their torn garment remnants at the feet of their chief captain and declared, "We covenant with our God that we shall be destroyed, even as our brethren in the land northward, if we shall fall into transgression. Yea, he may cast us at the feet of our enemies, even as we have cast our garments at thy feet, to be trodden under foot, if we shall fall into transgression." Clothing, for example, is an indication of the character of an individual, and may be inseparably connected to it. Hugh Nibley wrote, "To the modern and the Western mind, all this over-obvious dwelling on types and shadows seems a bit overdone, but not to the ancient or oriental mind. So foreign to us, but so characteristic of people who speak synthetic languages, that if things are alike, they are the same." Captain Moroni then linked the ritual of the rent coat to Joseph and a promise given by God to Jacob shortly before his death, and unknown to us except by Moroni's quotation of it. "Even as this remnant of garment of my son hath been preserved, so shall a remnant of the seed of my son be preserved by the hand of God, and be taken unto himself, while the remainder of the seed of Joseph shall perish, even as a remnant of his garment. Now behold, this giveth my soul sorrow. Nevertheless, my soul hath joy in my son, because of that part of his seed which shall be taken unto God." Likely this promise was recorded on the brass plates because the Nephite Christians making the covenant knew the story. By reciting this information about Joseph's coat, Moroni linked his rent coat to the heavenly promise of preservation, surely to Jacob, who was shown proof that Joseph was dead. This prophecy from God demonstrated God's ability to overcome seemingly impossible obstacles. In Jacob's day, Ephraim and Manasseh were tangible testimony of God's promise that Joseph's coat had not completely decayed. This was the first of several fulfillments of the prophecy. Moroni pointed his people to their Israelite ancestors and ancient clan leaders, Father Jacob and his son Joseph, to boost the Christian Nephites' courage in the battle against the apostate Nephites. The situation of the Nephites loyal to Helaman is described as exceedingly precarious. Captain Moroni had to unite the faithful Nephites to, one, thwart an all-out civil war led by a minority group of disobedient Nephites, and, two, avoid weakening the Nephites' ability to protect themselves against further Lamanite attacks. He adapted and expanded Jacob's words directly to the Nephite situation, declaring, "And now, who knoweth but what the remnant of the seed of Joseph, which shall perish as his garment, are those who have descended from us? Yea, and even it shall be ourselves, if we do not stand fast in the faith of Christ." Captain Moroni believed that the apostate Nephites, led by Amalickiah, would be destroyed as had a portion of Joseph's coat, and that those who had covenanted to be faithful to the principles on the title of liberty would be preserved, as was the remnant of Joseph's coat. Moroni also implied that the faithful Nephite Christians could be saviors to their people if they would be as perfectly obedient to their covenants as Joseph had been. God would preserve a faithful remnant. Promise of a remnant, historical beginnings. The promise that a remnant of Joseph would be saved began with the above prophecy by Father Jacob, first reiterated in the Book of Mormon by patriarch and prophet Lehi, as he recounted the covenants and prophecies of ancient clan leader Joseph. "And great were the covenants of the Lord which he made unto Joseph. Wherefore Joseph truly saw our day. And he obtained a promise of the Lord that out of the fruit of his loins the Lord God would raise up a righteous branch unto the house of Israel. Not the Messiah, but a branch which was to be broken off, nevertheless to be remembered in the covenants of the Lord, that the Messiah should be made manifest unto them in the latter days, in the spirit of power, unto the bringing of them out of darkness unto light, yea, out of hidden darkness and out of captivity unto freedom." From a remnant of Joseph of Egypt's posterity, God would raise up a righteous branch by separating out a special group of righteous individuals. Lehi saw his family as that righteous branch broken off from the main body of the house of Israel. Lehi and Captain Moroni each saw their people, the Nephites, as fulfillment of Jacob's prophecy, a branch which was to be broken off, nevertheless to be remembered in the covenants of the Lord, or as a remnant of the seed of Jacob, yea, we are a remnant of the seed of Joseph. Captain Moroni saw Nephite survival tied to being faithful to Christ. The title of Liberty Covenant Christians were likened to the remnant of Joseph's coat that was preserved, as was Joseph. Captain Moroni could motivate his people to action because he understood the cultural and spiritual power of these themes from Father Jacob and Joseph of Egypt, as well as their own Nephite prophet and patriarch Lehi. Captain Moroni used ritualistic symbols and prophetic promises to encourage his people and remind them of the blessings that awaited their faithfulness, and prophetic warnings to counsel his people regarding the dire consequences that would befall them if they rejected their covenant with the Lord. Conclusion. Many prophets have been told that the Lord would preserve a righteous remnant of the tribe of Joseph for his own purposes, anciently, in their day, and in the latter days. Lehi saw his posterity as a righteous remnant that had been separated from the land of Jerusalem. Captain Moroni applied this prophecy in a very specific situation in order for his people to be a remnant that would survive, reflecting his testimony of this ancient promise. The visual reminder, a war banner of torn clothing with a powerful message written on it, was flown in all the cities that followed Prophet Helaman, God, and those who desired religious freedom. Nibley declared that Moroni's recitation of Jacob's prophecy was not merely a resemblance or a type, but the very event foreseen by the patriarch of old. This has been a recording of The Title of Liberty and Ancient Prophecy by Roseanne Benson, originally published in Interpreter, a Journal of Mormon Scripture, Volume 23, Article 12, 2017, read by Gordon Schlosser Benson. This audio recording is copyrighted under a Creative Commons license and may be freely distributed if it remains unchanged. The journal and its website are credited and is for non-commercial use. A printed version of this and many other articles and resources on Mormon scripture can be found at MormonInterpreter.com.